good if you chant it. So since we don't have it, well, you have it. But anyway, I will. I'll do it word by word, like we do a Pushpanjali. You know, Tatapare, Tatapare. So that at least you'll chant it, and then I'll do it once myself, and then I'll proceed. Narayanam namaskritya.
Narayanam namaskritya.
Naram chaiva narottamam.
Naram chaiva narottamam.
Devim sarasvatim vyasam.
Devim sarasvatim vyasam.
Tato jaya madiriye.
Tato jaya madiriye.
Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, we should offer our respectful obeisances unto Lord Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and to Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, and to Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and to Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and to Srila Prabhupada, the translator, commentator, and our spiritual master. Is there a camera in here?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, there is. Very small. Okay. We're in 3547. 3547.
Yeah, we'll follow you.
Okay. Narayanam namaskrit. I did that. Nashta prayasha badreshu.
Nashta prayasha badreshu.
Nityam bhagavata sevaya.
Nityam bhagavata sevaya.
Bhagavatyuttama shloke.
Bhagavatyuttama shloke.
Bhaktim bhavati naishtiki.
Bhaktim bhavati naishtiki.
By regular attendance in classes on Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering devotional service to the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious within the heart is destroyed almost to nil, and loving devotion to the Supreme Lord, who is glorified in transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. 3547. Okay. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 On this 12th day of October 2017 in Phoenix, Arizona, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Canto 3, Chapter 5, Verse 47. Tathapare chapa samadhi yoga.
Tathapare chapa samadhi yoga.
Tathapare chapa samadhi yoga.
Tathapare chapa samadhi yoga.
Balena jitva prakatim balishtam.
Balena jitva prakatim balishtam.
Balena jitva prakatim balishtam.
Balena jitva prakatim balishtam.
Vameva dhira purusham vishanti.
Vameva dhira purusham vishanti.
Vameva dhira purusham vishanti.
Vameva dhira purusham vishanti.
Tesham shramaksyana tu sevayate.
Tesham shramaksyana tu sevayate.
Tesham shramaksyana tu sevayate.
Tesham shramaksyana tu sevayate.
Tathapare chapa samadhi yoga.
Tathapare chapa samadhi yoga.
Balena jitva prakatim balishtam.
Balena jitva prakatim balishtam.
Vameva dhira purusham vishanti.
Vameva dhira purusham vishanti.
Tesham shamaksyana tu sevayate.
Tesham shamaksyana.
Please chant.
Tathapare chapa samadhi yoga.
Balena jitva prakritim balishtam.
Vameva dhirah purusham vishanti.
Vameva dhirah purusham vishanti.
Tesham shramasyan tu sevayate.
Tesham shramasyan na tu sevayate. Tathapare chapa samadhi yoga. Balena jitva prakritim balishtam. Vameva dhira purusham vishanti. Tesham shramaksyana tu sevayate. Tathapare chapa samadhi yoga. Tata pade cha samadhi yoga. Balena jidva prakatim balishtam. Tvame vadira purusham vishanti. Tesham samaksya natasevayate. Maharaji. Tata pare chap samadhi yoga. Balena jitva prakatim balishtam. Tvameva dira purusham vishanti. Tesham samaksyan ata sevayate. Tatha. As far as. Apare. Others. Cha. Also. Atma samadhi. Transcendental self-realization. Yoga. Means. Balena. By the strength of. Jitva. Conquering. Prakatim. Acquired nature or modes of nature. Balishtam, very powerful. Tvam, you. Eva, only. Dhiraha, pacified. Purusham, person. Vishanti, enters into. Tesham, for them. Shamaha, much labor. Syat, has to be taken. Na, never. To, but. Sevaya, by serving. Te, of you. Okay, how long do we go? 8:30, okay. Translation, the demigods are praying to Narayan, beginning of creation. Others who are pacified by means of transcendental self-realization and have conquered over the modes of nature by dint of strong power and knowledge also enter into you. But for them there is much pain, whereas the devotee simply discharges devotional service and thus feels no such pain. Please repeat. Others who are pacified by means of transcendental self-realization.
Who are pacified by means of transcendental self-realization.
And have conquered over the modes of nature, by dint of strong power and knowledge, also enter into you. But for them there is much pain. Whereas the devotee simply discharges devotional service, and thus feels no such pain. Purport. In terms of a labor of love and its returns, the bhaktas, or devotees of the Lord, always have priority over persons who are addicted to the association of jnanis, or impersonalists, and yogis, or mystics. The word apare, others, is very significant in this connection. Others refers to the jnanis and the yogis, whose only hope is to merge into the existence of the impersonal Brahma-jyoti. Although their destination is not so important in comparison to the destination of the devotees, the labor of the non-devotees is far greater than that of the bhaktas. One may suggest that there is sufficient labor for the devotees also in the matter of discharging devotional service, but that labor is compensated by the enhancement of transcendental pleasure. The devotees derive more transcendental pleasure while engaged continuously in the service of the Lord than when they have no such engagement. In the family combination of a man and a woman, there is much labor and responsibility for both of them. Yet when they are single, they feel more trouble for want of their united activities. The union of the impersonalists and the union of the devotees are not on a par. The impersonalists try to fully stop their individuality by attaining sayujya mukti, or unification by merging into oneness, whereas the devotees keep their individuality to exchange feelings in relationship with the Supreme Individual Lord. Such reciprocation of feelings takes place in the transcendental Vaikuntha planets, and therefore the liberation sought by the impersonalists is already achieved in devotional service. The devotees attain mukti automatically while continuing the transcendental pleasure of maintaining individuality. As explained in the previous verse, the destination of the devotees is Vaikuntha, or Akunta Dishnya, the place where anxieties are completely eradicated. One should not mistake the destination of the devotees and that of the impersonalists to be one and the same. The destinations are distinctly different, and the transcendental pleasure derived by the devotee, is also distinct from chinmatra, or spiritual feelings alone. Om jnana timarandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshu unmilitam mena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master Srila Prabhupada opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and to all members of Sri Parampara. So mostly these prayers of the demigods are glorifying Krishna's lotus feet, isn't it? It's a wonderful meditation on Krishna's lotus feet and how much nectar is there, and the devotees are always clinging to those lotus feet. Here, particularly in this verse, there's a contrast between the different kinds of transcendentalists. This is throughout the Bhagavatam, you'll find this kind of contrast. And the contrast is between the devotees or the bhaktas, who do not by any means want to merge into the absolute, certainly not into the body of the Lord, and the impersonalists or jnanis, the yogis and the jnanis. They often aim at this impersonal liberation. Lacking faith in the existence, or at least in the supremacy of the personal form of the absolute truth, they try to end their individual existence by merging into the Brahma Jyoti, merging into the Lord's body, and in this way relieve all the suffering of this world. The very motivation is the key to the difference here. The motivation of the jnanis and the impersonalists is to relieve suffering, mukti alone. Their motivation is mukti. The motivation of the devotees is to merge into the ocean of ecstatic bliss occasioned by serving the Lord's lotus feet. So ultimately, the motivation of the devotee doesn't even involve mukti. It is simply, how can we please the Lord? That effort to please Krishna produces such a flood of ecstatic bliss that you don't even think about mukti. And there's so many nice shlokas. One comes to mind, Prabhupada would always quote from the Bilvamangala Thakur's Krishna Karnamrita, where he's praying there near the end of the Karnamrita. Bhaktis trayis tadatada bhagavan yadi syad daive nanak palati divya kishora muti mukti swayam mukulitanjali sevate sma dharma to kama gadiyak smadane kutakshit. Something like that. I forget the last words. So he's saying there, if someone is fixed in pure devotion to you, my dear Lord, bhakti stvayi stidatara means pure devotion, very fixed. Then he receives the fruit of that devotion, which is not liberation, but a beautiful vision of your wonderful adolescent form. Daivenanak paliti, the fruit, divyikishodamuti. And as far as mukti is concerned, she's waiting with this Anjali Mudra, which we know from Pushpanjali, right? This means, how can I serve you? What can I offer to you? I remember when I was working on the Srimad Bhagavatam, you mentioned, I think, how I helped to complete the Bhagavatam with Gopapurananda Prabhu and Vidyananda Maharaj. So we came across this word Anjali often, and we were translating, or had been translated in some of our other translations we had for reference, as folded hands. Just like you come in a church and you see so many people praying like this. But the Anjali really means is open hands like this, because there's something in there. There's the pushpa, or there's really your heart. You're asking for service. Folded hands, there's nothing in there. What can I get from the Lord? You see, there's a difference in the motive of the prayer of the Kaitava Dharmis, those who are practicing cheating religion, which means I pray to the Lord for wealth, for health, for something material. That's not bhakti. Dharma Prajnakaita Votra. Here in the Bhagavatam, the effort of the Bhagavad Dharma is ahoitakiya pratiha bhakti. It awakens love for Krishna, where your only motive, anyabhilashita shunyam, is devoid of other motives of jnanis and the siddhis and the yogis, what to speak of the karmis, is favorable devotional service unto Krishna. How can Krishna be pleased? In other words, you're taking pleasure in Krishna's pleasure. This is the vast difference. You're not worrying about mukti. The devotees are with Narayana Prakshave Nukutashana Bibidi, Svargapavarga Natakesha Patulyata Darshanam. The devotee is never afraid. The motivation for those who are after mukti is fear. Fear of birth, fear of old age, death and disease. That's the prime motivation. The motivation for the devotees is love. So would we rather be motivated by fear or by love? You can see the difference. Even on a material plane, you know, you're trying to find love everywhere. So this verse from Bilvamangataka says, mukti is serving me. In other words, she comes in the train of bhakti. And also dharma and artha. These are the four goals. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. As far as whatever I need in terms of artha and kama, you know, things for my, keep my body and soul together, that's also available and waiting in the train. But those who simply want mukti, they're described in the second chapter, 10th canto, in the prayers of the demigods, to Krishna in the womb. Ye and ye vindaksha vimukta maninas tvayasta bhavat avishuddha buddhaya aru akritshena padam patan padam tatak patantyadho anadvita yushmat angriya. So the devotees, the demigods are saying here, aside from the bhaktis, there are others. Ye are anye, adavindaksha, lotus-eyed Lord, who are averse to the service of your lotus feet. This whole chapter is a peon to lotus feet of Krishna. Demigods are, after all, bhaktis. Big service they have to perform. Adavindvimukta maninas, they think they are liberated. They're liberated in their own minds, you see. But their intelligence is not really purified because they're averse to serving your lotus feet. And therefore those few who by great effort can curb the senses and the mind by severe austerity, a few can rise up to the Parampadam, the Brahmabhuta platform. But they have no standing in devotional service because they have no faith in Krishna, you see. So you're up there in the Brahmajyoti, imagine it. You know, it's just white light, there's no other person, you know, there's no senses, there's no thought. What is it? I'm just there enjoying the freedom from pain. How long can that go on? Not forever, you know, because it's unnatural. So, and then patantyadho, and they eventually fall down again because they're averse to serving your lotus feet. Another verse Prabhupada would often quote, I heard a beautiful lecture where he's quoting this verse again and again. This is in the teachings of Sanat Kumar to Maharaj Prithu in the fourth canto. Maharaj Prithu, he's born as the son of Vena. Vena's been killed by the Brahmins. He's venal. And they churn his thighs. Anyway, Prithu comes out. First Nishada comes out, then Prithu and the wife come out. And he's the ideal king. The four Kumaras, they like to visit these wonderful saintly kings. And so they came to his arena of sacrifice, and he greeted them, and then they instruct him. He asks questions. They take advantage to ask questions. So near the end of the instruction, this verse that's often quoted, and the Sanat Kumar is describing to Prithu, yat pada pankaja palashe valasa bhaktya karmashayam gotitam udgutayanti santa Tadban-rikta-matayo-yata-yopi-ruddha-srodo-ganastha-madanam-bhaja-vasudev. And this means that the devotees who are relishing the pleasure of serving the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord, pada-pankata-palasa-vilasa-bhaktya. Prabhupada, in this lecture, he's chanting this one line again and again. He's relishing himself. Pada-pankata-palasa-vilasa. So vilasa is spiritual pleasure. And parapankaja is, of course, the lotus feet. But it's the palasha. It's the petals of the lotus feet. Or in other words, the toes of the lotus. The petals of the lotus equal the toes of the lotus feet. So they're serving at the tips of, you know, Krishna's lotus feet very humbly. And they're experiencing all this pleasure. And the result of that, one result of that is, bhaktya karma shayam kutitam udgutiyanti santa, the saints, the saintly devotees. The aspirations, unlimited hopes and desires in the heart for enjoying this material world, they're compared to like ropes tying us to this world. They're all cut, udgutiyanti, or the knots are untied by that power of that spiritual pleasure. And then in contrast with others, like the impersonalists or the yogis, tadvanna rikta matayo yatayo piruddha sroto ganastamadanam madhavati, that those whose minds are empty of bhakti, the impersonalists, the yogis, what to speak of the karmis, they cannot stop, even though they practice severe austerities, ultimately they cannot stop the waves of material desire that arise from the heart, and they cannot attain mukti, what to speak of the pleasures of bhakti. And therefore, tamadam bhajavas, therefore you should worship Vasudeva. That's practically the conclusion of his instructions. So this is a very graphic description. The advantage of the bhaktas, and we've all experienced this. If you're chanting nice rounds, you're following the program, you're following the principles, then your former life desires that you had, they start to wane. You're not interested in that anymore. How can you practice the four regular principles? In this world, this modern Kali Yuga age in the West, when they're coming at you from every direction. At every moment, Maya is enticing you to enjoy illicit sex and intoxication and all kinds of things. And we're saying, forget it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Right? It's not that we're gritting our teeth and saying, no, no, no. It's that by chanting the holy name and other forms of bhakti, you get the higher taste and this becomes abominable. The extreme example, you may be familiar with the Yamunacharya, where he has his verse quoted twice in the Bhagavad Gita, in the purports. Yadavadi mamacheta krishna pada adavinde navanavarasam adim rantam asit tadavadi patanadi sangamesma yamane bhavati mukhavakara sushtinishtivanam. Sorry, I'm off the second line. But the meaning is, ever since I have been enjoying ever new mellows by serving the lotus feet of Krishna, the same theme here, then whenever I think of the four, because if it's a king have all facility, you know. Whenever I think of the sex life with a woman, I just spit at the thought. It's not even attractive. It's not like I have to draw my mind away from it, you see? So this is the great advantage of the bhaktas, is that Krishna gives spiritual pleasure in the heart for the sincere devotees, which covers and eliminates, purifies the heart of the desires for lower things. And this is why Lord Chaitanya's movement is based on this Vairagya Vidya, Nija Bhakti Yoga. This is a wonderful verse by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. When he was converted to bhakti, he surrendered to Lord Chaitanya, he saw the Shadbhuja, and he composed these verses. Actually, he composed these 100 verses about Lord Chaitanya. And then these two additional verses he sent on a leaf, you know, to the Gambhir in Puri. And Govinda, his servant, very wisely, instead of giving him to Lord Chaitanya, he wrote him on the outside of the Gambhir because he knew they glorified him as Krishna. And as soon as Lord Chaitanya read it, he ripped him up because he didn't want to be, you know, glorified as Vishnu except in very special circumstances. So, but the devotees had that treasure and it's come down to us through the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So the most famous of the two is this verse, Vairagya Vidya, Nija Bhakti Yoga, Shikshatameka, Purushak Purana, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharir Dhadi Kripambudhi Yastamaham Bhavadya. So Lord Krishna, out of his mercy, he comes as Lord Chaitanya, right, an ocean of mercy. And why is that an ocean of mercy? Because here we are, you know, in this Kali Yuga, we're helpless. We're overwhelmed by the effects of this age. We're unlucky. First of all, we're lazy in the matter of, you know, spiritual life. We're misguided. If we have some interest in spiritual life, we're misguided. You get on the internet and you see, you know, self-realization. Imagine what you can get. You know, 20 million hits. What do I do? Where do I go? Chances are you're going to get misled. You know, bogus yogis, all that. And then, so we're unfortunate, mandabhagya, and always disturbed. The mind is always disturbed. Anxiety. Prabhupada mentioned in this purport, and we're going to go through in a little more detail. Vaikuntha, the place of no anxiety. I read an article, 60% of the young kids in high school and college, they're overwhelmed by extreme anxiety a certain percentage of the time. because of all the pressures that are put on them. And you know, you get on Facebook, you get on the social media, there's everyone is putting his best face forward, so no one can meet the ideal of what he sees on there. You know, the girls growing up, they can never meet it, they have so much anxiety, and the boys, they can't, you know, it's impossible. It's an ocean of anxiety, more than ever before. These kids break down, they can't, you know, it's horrible. So here, what are we selling? Become free of anxiety. Come to the world completely free of anxiety, by Kunta. And it's not me, you have to wait till you die and go back to Godhead. Even in this life, in the middle of this Kali Yuga world, you can be free of anxiety. Iha yasya hari dasi karma nama nasagana nikadasya pivastasu jivan muktasa uchite. Now here we're back to this word of mukti, but this is in the context of bhakti. So in other words, like mukti pade, you know that famous verse that Sarvabhauma didn't want to chant anymore because he hated the very word mukti, you know, it brought back so many memories. We'll get to that in a minute. But here, Prabhupada will quote this verse. Iha here means the activities, long I, long A. If they're all in the realm of Hare Dasya, devotion to service to Hari, which activities? Karma Nama Nasagada. This covers everything, really. The activities of your senses. Dishi Radhamanava Ki Jai, Shikornathai Ki Jai. And so what is Karma Nama Nasagada? Your mind, your mental activities, your words, the activities of your knowledge acquiring and your active senses, if they're all serving, then you're a Jivan Mukta, even in this world. Jivan Mukta is a term that's used to mean someone is in this world and is liberated. Liberated how? Liberated from all these desires. Liberated from fear. You know? And from fear. Narayana Padaksave. The real devotee of Narayana, he's not afraid of anything. Just like we were reading in Tucson about Prahlad Maharaj. And I was there for more than a week, and so I decided to just do some of the teachings of Prahlad to his father. Talk about preaching, speaking truth to power. Here's the original emblem of speaking truth to power. Here's this five-year-old boy on the lap of this huge demon who's conquered the whole universe, you know, and is an archenemy of Vishnu. And what does he do? He preaches Vishnu Bhakti to him. What's the best thing you've learned today? Oh, he doesn't call him father. Oh, best of the demons. The best thing I've learned for everyone who's so disturbed in this world because they're holding on to the impermanent for dear life. Impermanent means the body, the family, the money, your situation here is going to be blown away by the winds of time. It's obvious. And yet, that's where we're taking shelter. Of course you're in anxiety. So he says, give it up. Hitvatmapatam griyamandakupam. Hitva. Give up this atmapatam, the blind well of material life, which obstructs the progress of the soul. This is called atmapatam. Then what should I do? Suppose I give it up. Go to the forest, Vrindavan, and take shelter of Krishna, Hari. This is what he says to his father. His father knocks him off his lap. And what happened to this boy? He looks with, you know, those threatening eyes at Chanda Namaka, the teachers. What have you taught him? We didn't teach him anything. It's not us. He learned in the womb. You know. Anyway, it goes on like that. And finally, of course, you know, Hiranyakashipu is killed by Lord Nrisimhadeva, and Prahlad offers the prayers, beautiful prayers that we're studying again and again. So among those prayers, there are two that perfectly encapsulate the mood of Srila Prabhupada preaching, and not just Srila Prabhupada, our whole sampradaya. So the first of these two verses, it involves the theme here we're talking about, the contrast between the impersonalist and the personalist. He says, Naivod Vijay Padadarotre Avaitaranyas Padviya Gayana Mahamata Magna Chitta. So in these two lines, Prahlad is defining, he's saying to Lord Nrisimhadeva, he's saying, I'm not disturbed in the least. You know, never. Whether I'm, you know, threatened by my father or I'm sitting on your lap. I have no disturbance. You are beyond, O Lord, you are beyond the Vaitarani River. In other words, you're in the spiritual world, and I'm always with you by meditating on it. So why am I undisturbed? Because Tadviya Gayana Mahamata Magna Chitta. At any time, I can sing your glories, your powerful glories, and immerse my mind in an ocean of nectar. Great nectar. Mahamata Magna Chitta. We have that opportunity also. If we really become absorbed in chanting and purify our chanting, it's an ocean of nectar. The holy name alone is rendered all benediction for everyone, Lord Chaitanya says. Even Krishna has infused his shakti. It's available to us. The only thing stopping us is our mad mind that's wandering here and there and not accepting the holy name and drinking it in as the rasayana that it is, the life-giving elixir, right, for the soul. Plus, all of these other vibrations, I'm going to share a few with you if we have time, about Krishna's lotus feet and there's so many. So, that Prahlada is saying, this is who I am. I never have any unhappiness, Nayavaje. But then he says something amazing. Shoche tatova mukhachetata indiyata maya sukhaya badamudvatova mudha. But I am lamenting for these fools and rascals who don't know about you and who are trying to squeeze out this maya sukhaya, this illusory happiness from the senses, from this world. And he says, bearing the burden. As soon as you commit yourself to material sense gratification, so many problems. You got to make the money. That in itself is a huge problem. Then you have to find it. You have to keep your health going because you may have all the money in the world, but if you're sickly, you can't enjoy. You know. And then you commit yourself to some, the marriages come and go, and that causes extreme pain and all kinds of things. The cell phones, right? They keep coming out with these new iPhones. Why? To make money. So the thing is, the iPhone you have is perfectly good. Probably the first one or second one has all the features you need, right? So the whole purpose of Maya's agents, is to make you unsatisfied with what you have. So that you buy things you don't need with money you don't have, and go into debt, so that they got you. As soon as they got you under debt, then you're working for them. You're working for the bank, you're working for the... Right? But look at the devotee. Devotees can be happy with very little because we're drinking the nectar of the pleasure within. We have this reservoir of pleasure. So we're really the great revolutionaries in this world. Remember in what Narada Muni says, Tad Bhagvasargo Janataga Viplavo Yasman Bhadishlok. He says those words which glorify Krishna, they're meant to bring about a revolution. Viplava means to capsize the boat. Plava is a boat, right? So the whole material world is resting and personified or concentrated in the capitalist system. The whole capitalist system means the Vaishyas have taken over. So the whole purpose of life is to make money, for these guys. Wall Street, hedge fund. Can you imagine what a horrible life that is? From morning to night, all you're worrying about is, oh, I have to buy this, I have to sell this. What is the price of this? What is the price? Now life is filled with dollars. Their brain is filled with dollar signs. Where are they going? There's a hell for that. You read the fifth canon. So, don't be envious of these guys, millionaires, billionaires. They're the most miserable guys. Just look at their faces. I remember when I was a kid, we had this magazine called Life Magazine. It was very prominent in the 40s, 50s, even the 60s. Big format, big pictures, So one week, I think it was a weekly, they did a special on the mafia in New York City. A lot of them, they were more prominent. They're still there, now they're undercover. So they had a rogues gallery. It means they had pictures of like 20 or 30 of them in a spread, And I remember the faces. These guys are not happy. They may have some money, but their life is based on violence, threat of violence, and fear that someone is going to take their, So the capitalist system is not much different than the mafia. You grab control, and you beat out the other guy. And you bankrupt him and buy him out, whatever. It's all based on subtle and sometimes gross violence, really. So you can never be happy like that. This is the life of the demons. They're always in anxiety. Like Aranyakasipu, he conquered the whole universe, but he wasn't happy. He was afraid of his little son, who was, 5-year-old devotee. And he was certainly afraid of Vishnu, that he would come. So devotees, we can become peaceful. Peaceful means, as defined in Bhagavad Gita, Vihaya kama niksavam pumam shadati nikspraha nirmamo nadahankara sashanti madigachiti. To be completely free of material desire, to have no sense of nirmama, nothing is mine, this is this kinchana platform. And nidahankara means no false ego. False ego means I'm an enjoyer in control of this world. Real ego means I'm a servant of Krishna. Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas. This is our real Swarup. So the devotees have a great advantage. Why are we in this world? I think he just went through before this section a description, a summary description of the creation, which will be in more detail later in this canto when Kapiladeva gives his teachings. What is the point of contact and point of bondage of the soul in this world? The false ego, ahankar. I am an independent doer. Ahankar means I'm the doer. I'm the owner. You see. So that false ego is what interacts with the different modes of nature. You remember that? In the mode of goodness, it produces the mind. In the mode of passion, it produces the intelligence. In the mode of ignorance, all the senses, the object of the senses, all of that. It's all coming from false ego. Now, the materialistic yogis, they start with the senses. You control the senses, control the breath, then control the mind, you know. But it's I am doing it. I'm becoming a powerful yogi. And ooh, look at all these cities I'm getting now. You know, I can fly in the sky, I can lower the... So that's false ego. The false ego isn't touched. And we find the story of like Durvasa Muni, you know, very proud. Then he had his thousands of disciples. So he comes and he hears about Ambarish. He's a king. You know, you've got Brahman and Durvasa, and here's the king and Kshatriya. And he's got so many things going on, and they're not commonly thought of as great transcendentalists. And yet he's getting all this honor and people love him because he's a great devotee. So Durvasa Muni wants to bring Ambarish low, you know, to put him in his place, right? So you remember the story? So he timed his visit there, because when he visits, you better take care of him. You know, he's got all these powers and he's got all these disciples. So he comes just at the time, you know, when you follow Ekadashi strictly, there's a certain interval the next day when you have to break the fast. So Ambarish was very, very strict about his Ekadashi, you know, as a service to the Lord, honoring Krishna. So it was just at that time, a few minutes before, when he was meant to break his fast, complete, you know, near Jal fast, stay up all night, chanting Krishna. And so then comes Durvasa Muni on the scene. So he has to honor him, you know, and he offers to, you know, why don't you break fast with me? He must be fasting also. Okay, but let me take a bath. So, you know, that's right. So you're traveling. So he goes into the river or lake, whatever it is. And he purposely stays in there long, knowing that the time is expiring. And then, you know, it's going to be an offense. Ambarish will be making offense. He knows that Ambarish doesn't want to do that by not breaking the fast. But it's also offense to his guest if he eats before. He can't eat before his guest. You know, that's an offense to the guest. You don't want to offend Durvasa. But if I don't break it, that's an offense to Hudi. Now it's a dilemma. So he consults his Brahmin advisors, and they don't know, and he gives him the solution himself. He says, what I'll do is I'll drink a little water. Water is breaking fast and not breaking fast. You know, people fast by drinking water. So he drank a little water, you know. And Durvasa comes, and then he invites him, please, you know, let's take our repast. But Durvasa understood by his mystic power that he had broken the fast. So he went completely over the top. You know, come on, you know, he took a little water. Oh, you offended me, you know. So he creates a kritya. A kritya is a female fire demoness. And her mission is to burn Ambarish to ashes. Kind of an overreaction. But that's... So what is Ambarish's reaction? Now this is illustrative because we've quoted that verse Narayana Puraksarve, which says how the devotee is not afraid of anything. So Ambarish, he just stood there as the fire is coming at him. Imagine with burning fires in Northern California. Nobody's standing there. They're all fleeing. You've got to evacuate. But he's just ready to be burned to ash if this is Krishna's will, Hare Krishna. Very powerful to be that free of fear and anxiety. It's like Prahlad. You know, put me in the oil. I don't care, Hare Krishna. Boiling oil. So what happened is this: that the chakra, Krishna's chakra, discus, immediately came, destroyed the kritya, and then went after Durvasa. So here's the test. You know, actually, it's very auspicious to be destroyed by the chakra, but Durvasa, he fled. He was afraid. In other words, he wasn't really on a transcendental platform. So he goes all over, he goes to Brahma, he goes to Shiva, he says, please save me, we can't help you, that's the Krishna's chakra coming after you. He goes to Vaikuntha, he had that power, and he bows down to Narayan, he says, please withdraw your chakra. And then Narayan says, amazing thing, I forget the, Aham Bhakta Paradino, he says, I'm not independent, I'm dependent on my bhaktas, you know, I'm controlled by, I can't do anything, he said. And then this famous verse, which I'm forgetting. Sadhu vidhim mayam, sadhu nam vidhim taham. Mananyate na jananti, naham te vyogmanagapi. The sadhus are in my heart, or they are my heart, and I am in the sadhus' heart. They don't know anything but me, and I don't know anything but them. You know. So then he says, go back down to Ambarish. If you get his mercy, then he'll withdraw the chakra, but I can't do anything. So Durvasa, obviously his plan is foiled. He goes down, surrenders to Ambarish, and Ambarish has these beautiful prayers to the chakra, which had actually been given to him, and the chakra, you know. So what was Ambarish doing? Savaimana Krishna Madhara Vindayova Changsi Vaikunda Gunana Varnade Kadohare Mandira Marjanadasu Shutim Chikaracha. Every sense he had linked up. First the mind on the lotus feet. We're back to the lotus feet. Savaimana Krishna Madhara Vindayova. And then the words glorifying Krishna, the ears hearing about Krishna, the hands cleaning the temple, the feet walking to the temple, the nose smelling the garland, and the tongue tasting the tulsi offered in the prasadam. And the desires and fulfilling the desires of the Lord. And in this way, Ambarish was fully engaged. Everything was, this is the perfection. So, the motto of the story here is that, and of course, just one more verse we should quote, because Prabhupada refers to this. Klesho dikatataste shama viktaktakshetasam. Those who are attracted to the invisible, indefinable Brahman, you know, aspect of the Supreme, and try to realize it, so much trouble. For those who are embodied, that's us. Klesho adhikatataste sham. Adhikatataste means very great klesha. You know, just imagine, you know, we're floating here in bhakti, we have the holy name, we have the beautiful Radha Madhava deities and all these other deities. And the prasadam, and the books, the stories, the accounts of Krishna's leela. Our senses, if we desire it, can be fully absorbed in Krishna with great joy. There's no great austerity. Nobody's asking you to fast for 10 days in a row or go out in the hot sun, you know, and sit there with fires around you, you know, and chant Hare Krishna. No. But we can become advanced in devotional service and we can have the material desires go away. So, but for those who are attached to the impersonal, imagine your life. No deities, no holy name, no prasadam, just you and your mind and senses. Can anyone imagine trying to control like that? This is the blessing. This is the blessing of Krishna. He's given us all these things so that we can link up to the Supreme and at the same time feel the spiritual pleasure. And it increases more and more. There's no limit to it. That's the whole idea. Mahamrita Magna Chitta, Prahlad says, the great ocean of bliss. So I'd like to share a couple of verses with you. I was just reading this morning. You know, Srila Prabhupada giving us the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He's giving us the highest literature. You know, it's about Lord Chaitanya, it's all about Krishna in the form of Lord Chaitanya. But it also gives all the teachings and it gives a nice taste of some of the writings of the Goswamis. So I remember discovering some of these verses way back in 75, working on the marathon, 17 books in 2 months. You know, I had an opportunity to work on that marathon a little bit. So, in the Antya Leela, one of the chapters, the first chapter, there's a wonderful selection of verses from Vidugdha Madhava, Lalita Madhava. And many of these verses, they're not very intimate. They're just beautiful, beautiful verses. So, since we're, let's see if I can call this up so I can give you a euphonious translation here. This is at the beginning. There's also, you know, we hear about the Vidugdha Madhava and we think it's all conjugal ras. But actually, at the beginning, there's also, you know, beautiful descriptions of Yashoda Mahi's relation with Krishna and Nanda Maharaj. You know. So this is one of them, and I recalled it. Let me see if I can bring it up here. I think. No, this is not it. Yeah. Here we go. So this is a description. This is Nanda Maharaj speaking to Krishna. Yes. And he's describing how Madhya Yashoda is reacting to Krishna. So this, listen to the Sanskrit. It's beautiful. Aha means, oh, how wonderful it is. Aha kamala gandera at the soundari vinde. Vinahita nayanenam chan mukendo mukunda. kuchikalasamukabhyamam badaknopamam bhatavamuhadadihashad varshati chiradharam. Chiradharam means a flood of milk. So, Nanda, O child, look, O Mukunda, who are fragrant like a lotus flower, Kamala Gandhir. Yashoda's eyes are resting on the beauty of your moon-like face, and out of great joy, she is again and then wetting her garments with showers of milk flowing from the nipples of her water pot-like breast. So this, we hear how, you know, the milk is coming whenever she sees it, but this is such a beautiful description. And then Nanda Maharaj embraces Krishna, and he describes the experience. Jita chanda paraga chandika naladan diva the chandana shriyam padito mahi shaitya marurim vahati sparsha mahotsavastava. O Krishna, the great festival of your touch brings to me a sweet coolness that defeats that of camphor, moonlight, nalada roots, lotus flowers, and sandal paste. These are all cooling objects. And he's describing the wonderful experience of just embracing Krishna. So this is the gift that's been given. These descriptions in sound are meant to enthrall our minds, and we become absorbed in them. And they become very easy when we make an effort to give up all this other distraction, and we take shelter in Prabhupada's books and the philosophy, and the descriptions are there, and we can actually become absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Here's a couple of others I'll share with you. In the Antilila, these are Prabhupada's translations that are coming up. So Krishna is walking in to the forest, and he's describing the effect on him, how he's experiencing the forest of Vrindavan. The day has just begun. He's walking with his friends, Ram Balaram, and the cows are going in. So listen to the poetry here. You can hear it. Sugandhau ma kanda pakatamakadanda simadode vinisyande vandi kutamada pavrindam hodidam. Kutando lan mando natabinanalai chandana gade, mamanandam vinda vipanamatulam tundalayati. Now, one thing I forgot to mention. You know, Sanskrit is such a perfect language that certain combinations of letter evoke certain reactions in our heart. And one of those combinations is ND, as in Ananda, or Nanda, or Nanda Nandana. So this verse is filled with NDs. I'm going to chant it one more time. Listen to the ND sound, because it's all bliss. Sugandhau ma kanda pakadamakadanda simadode vinisyande vandi kutamadabavrindam muhuridam kutando lan mando natabinanalais chandanagade mamanandam vrinda vipanamatulam tundalayati. You hear that? Every line has about three. So what does it mean? Prabhupada says, this is his translation. Krishna, looking at the forest, he says, oh, the sweet, fragrant nectar oozing from newly grown mango buds is again and again attracting swarms of bumblebees and turning them into vandis. Vandis are professional praisers, you know. And in English, there's a word you probably don't know, panegyrist. People who are in the ancient times, they're very good at composing and singing songs, usually in honor of a king or something like that. So these vandis, these bumblebees are now vandis, they're buzzing, but they're not just humming, they're singing praises to Krishna. The sweet fragrant nectar oozing from the newly grown mango buds is again and again attracting swarms of bumblebees or honeybees and turning them into panegyrists. And this forest is trembling in the softly moving breezes from the Malaya hills, which are filled with sandalwood trees. Thus the forest of Vrindavan is increasing my transcendental pleasure. So this is a wonderful meditation. You know, I can show you if you want to while I'm here how to chant these, how to figure out the meter. There's a name to this meter, Shikharini. The Prabhupada mentions it. It's a combination of yogurt and sugar candy, you know, very sweet. Many verses are composed in this meter. The entire Ahamsadutta. Ahamsadutta means swan letter. This is a book that Rupa Goswami wrote. The entire Ahamsadutta, which is written in this meter, and at the end, Rupa Goswami says, I have completed it, you know, at such and such a date. Sometimes they say like that, like in the CC, I think it's like that. With great effort, you know, because composing, you know, 150 of these verses in one book is not easy, you can imagine. So I encourage you to investigate, you know, Prabhupada's books. These verses about the feet, a couple of other shlokas I wanted to share with you. One is Queen Kunti's prayer, where she's talking about the lotus feet. And she says, Shrinvanti gayanti grinanti bhikshnasa. smadanti nandanti devehitam jana teheva pasyant achirena tabakam bhavapavaho padamam padambujam. This may resonate, those who know Kunti's prayers. So he's saying, those who hear about and sing and take pleasure in others thinking about what? Your activities. Ihitam jana. He's praying directly to Krishna. Shunvanti, gayanti, gunanti, bhikshnasa, constantly. Smadanti nandanti devehitam jana. And remember, so they hear, chant, and remember your activities. What happens? Quickly, achidena, means not after a long time. Tavakam, they see, pashyanti. Achidena tavakam, bhava pavaho padamam padambajam. They see your lotus feet, which stops the powerful flow of birth and death. Bhava pravaha, pravaha is like a flood. Upadamam, it stops it. In other words, liberation is there, you know, as a byproduct. And then one more verse about the lotus feet. And this is when Krishna meets the gopis at Kurukshetra, and this is all this exchange, you know. And he's trying to, you know, explain to them, look, I'm everywhere. I'm in your hearts. We're never really separated, you know. And so he's basically teaching them how to practice yoga, you know, how to remember him with their heart. They want to bring him back to Vrindavan and dance with him on the bank of the Yamuna. They're not interested in remembering him as yoga. So they're complaining like that. So the last verse in their exchange, they say, okay. Ahushtate nananabhadada vindam yogi shadai vidvichintamagada bodhai. Sang sada kupa patitota danava lundam geham jishama pivanasyudiya siddhana. They're saying, you of the lotus navel, nananaba padada vindam, and lotus feet. The yogis, Yogeshwarai, the leader of the yogis, they're always meditating on those lotus feet and they can remember them. Vidhi vichincha magada bodhai. And what are these lotus feet? Now, this is the real attraction of this verse they're describing. Sang sada kupa patitota danava lundam. We are sang sada kupa patita. We've fallen into this well of samsara, like a blind well. We can't get out on our own, right? Suffering. So those lotus feet are uttara avalambam. They're shelters that pull you out of this well. Sangsara kupa patidota vanadalam. We're just household ladies, you know. Please manifest those lotus feet in our hearts as we do our household duties when we go back to Vrindavan. In other words, they're taking the role of simple housewives, you know. You manifest the feet. They're not saying, come on back at this point, you know, but that's the Jagannath Rathya pulling them back. All right, I'll stop now. Oh, it's almost time. Any questions, comments? Oh, I forgot one poem. I'll give you one poem. This is from Padyavali, and this is describing how those who fill their days with glorifying Krishna, which is what we're supposed to do, they don't even feel like Kali Yuga has come. And now with these fires burning, it's actually described the blazing days of Kali Yuga. Everybody's burning in this blaze, you know, not just in Northern California. So here's how the Sanskrit goes. This is from Padyavali, and it's written by some obscure scholar. You know, not everyone, all of those verses, and only a few are actually written by Rupa Goswami. He collected them. It's his nectar file. These are his favorite verses. So this one says, Aho, aho, beer, and listen to the poetry, the beginning of each line. Aho, aho, beer, nakale, vaduya, de, sudha, sudhara, madanam, pade, pade, dine, dine, chandana, chandra, sheetalam. Yesho Yashoda Tanayasya Giyate. Because at every step they taste a flood of wondrous nectar sweet, whose cooling power, sandal paste enhanced with camphor, can't defeat. They feel as if the raging blaze of Kali's days had ne'er begun. How blessed are they who fill their days with praise of Sri Yashoda's son. So we should try to fill our days with praise of Yashoda's son, and we'll be blessed, and we'll feel like we're not in Kali Yuga anymore. We're not even Satya Yuga. We're in Vaikuntha. Okay, all glory to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you. Yes, sir. The lotus feet are where we start, because the lotus feet, when it indicates the service. In other words, it defines our position. You know, if you bow down to someone's lotus feet or you touch their lotus feet, it means I'm your servant. I'm in a lower position than you, and Krishna is the lowest position. So this is it's very important when we see the deity. Prabhupada recommended start at the lotus feet and gradually move up and then to the lotus face. You know, we don't just come before Krishna and look at his face like that, because it helps us to remember our position as servants. And so those lotus feet are highly exalted. The effulgence emanating from the lotus toenails are highly exalted. You know, here's a prayer Rupa Goswami sings. It's in the form of a song. And he says, Krishna bhavandam vande manmanasamatakadamapayinitapadapankachamakadande. That's the refrain. O Krishna, dearest Lord, I bow to you and then entreat. Please place me in my restless mind in the honey of your lotus feet. And then he describes, Yadapi samadushu vidadapi pashit nanamanakagamidicham. Though even Brahma, deep in trance, cannot achieve his goal, a glimpse of your effulgent toenails soothing to the soul. Because, O Lord, I've heard of your compassion's endless waves, that very vision is the only boon my poor heart craves. O Krishna, dearest Lord, I bow to you and then entreat, please place the bee in my restless mind in the honey of your lotus feet. O Madhava, despite great effort, I have not attained a drop of pure devotion. This has brought me endless pain. Yet though it seems impossible to ever fill this need, your monumental power gives me hope I shall succeed. O Krishna, dearest Lord, I bow to you and then entreat. Please place the bee in my restless mind in the honey of your lotus feet. Now this last one. Today, eternal Lord, my mind is fixed upon your feet, and so I'm tasting endless mellows, wonderful and sweet. I pray that for eternity my mind may there reside to relish luscious honey that defeats ambrosia's pride. So the idea is that Krishna's feet have this wonderful effect. They're full of, you know, wonderfully soft and fragrant, and that's where the service mood resides. You start with the lotus feet. So this is what we want to meditate on. And here Rupa Goswami says, well, I can't. You know, my mind is too restless. So you do it. You have the power. You please take my mind and put it in your lotus feet, you know. And then he says, who am I compared to Brahma? Brahma has trouble meditating. He can't even see your toenails, you know. But I've heard of your compassion. So please take compassion on me. You know, I'm so wretched. And that's what I wish, is to be able to remember those lotus feet. I've tried and tried and tried, but I haven't attained even a drop of bhakti. But your power is so great, you can overcome all of my reluctance and all of my nonsense and place my mind in your lotus feet. And then the last verse says, oh, today, eternal Lord. Now here's one note that you can remember. In the songs, in the Stavamala, it's part of the Stavamala, there's a whole bunch of songs, one which we know very well. Radhe, Dayadaya, Madhava, Dayate. Jayate Madhava. So the last stanza of that song goes Sanaka Sanatanam Karanite. So he's referring to the four sanas, but really he has the word Sanatan in there. So every last verse, not every last verse, in each song, the last verse always has the name Sanatan, because he's offering obeisance to Sanatan Goswami, his brother, he regards as his guru. But oftentimes it refers to the Eternal Lord, something like that. Yeah, so this verse also was Sanatan. Eternal Lord, now my mind is fixed upon your feet. In other words, the prayer worked. Krishna placed it. And now I'm relishing these endless mellows. Let my mind eternally reside there. Now please keep my mind at your lotus feet. So the lotus feet are a place of, you know, pleasure pastimes for the goddesses of fortune, and it's where we want to start our meditation on Krishna. And then gradually we can see the whole form, but it defines our relationship as servants. That's the idea. Can we end now? That was kind of a coda to the class, which I did record. Shall we proceed? Because I have a lot of things I got to do also. It's time. Temple president says, is it time?
Yes.
Okay, time. Sorry if I spoke too fast. Did you understand what I was saying? Pretty much? Because I tend to kind of, the words kind of tumble out. Hare Krishna. Oh, and don't remind me. I have a wonderful little set of verses from the Stavamala, four little verses. The first two contain 10 names of Radharani. The last two give you the benefits, the Palashruti. And one of the Palashrutis is Tvaditam Kurana Patram Radha Madhava Yobavet. You very quickly get the mercy of Radha and Madhava by chanting this shloka. That's what we want, right? There's Radha and Madhava right here. And yeah, just kidding. Here's the 10 names of Radharani. Radha Dhamalara Preshta, Radhika Varshabhanavi, Samasta Ballavi Vrinda Dhammillotang Samallika, which I'll explain. Krishna Priyavali Mukya, Gandharva Lalita Sakhi, Vishaka Sakhi Sukhini Haririn Bringamanjari. So Radha, Damodara Preshta, beloved of Damodar. Radhika, the best worshipper of Krishna. Varshabhanavi, the daughter of King Vishabhanu. And Samasta Ballavi Vrinda Dhammalotang Samallika means that she is like a chaplet, which is a garland for the head of Mallika flowers, jasmine, on the wonderfully ornate braided hair of all the other gopis. In other words, she's the foremost of gopis. She's the crown. And then Krishna Priyavali Mukya, the foremost of Krishna's beloveds. Gandharva, wonderful singer. Lalita Sakhi, friend of Lalita. And Vishakha Sakhi Sukhini, made very blissful, happy by the friendly dealings of Vishakha. And Hari Rid Bringa Manjari. She's a blossoming flower that attracts the bee of the heart of Krishna. And then the benefits, Yima Bindamanesha, ya? Dasha Nama Manohara, Ananda Chandika Nama, Yodahasyam Sutimade. One who chants this very confidential stotra, which is called Ananda Chandrika, the moonlight of bliss, and which contains 10 enchanting names of Radharani, what's the benefits? Saklesha Rahita Obhuva, becomes completely free of all suffering. Buri Saubhagi Bhushita, is decorated with oceans of good fortune. And, as I mentioned, Tvaditam Karuna Patram, Radha Madhava Yobayet, very quickly becomes an object of mercy and compassion of Radha Madhava. So, what's not to like? You can easily learn four verses. I'll make sure I give it to you.
Can you sing it again? I'm just
recording. Radha Damalara Preshta Radhika Varshabhanavi Samasta Ballavi Vrinda Dhammillotang Samallika Krishna Priyavali Mukya Gandharva Lalita Sakhi Vishakha Sakti Sukhini Haririn Bringa Manjari Imam Vindavanishraya Dashanama Manoramam Ananda Chandrika Nama Yodahasyam Stutim Pate Saklesha Rahito Bhudva Bhudi Saubhagi Bhushitaha Tvaditam Karuna Patram Radha Madhava Yo Bhavet. Om Tat Sat, Hare Krishna. Now we better go. Hare Krishna. Oh. Was this thing going?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to push stop.